Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for today that we can worship you, that we can spend a little bit extra time talking about our mothers and what a precious gift they are to all of us. We thank you for them. Pray that you bless them, that we honor them as we honor you, Father. So bless our hearts now, Lord, as we prepare to worship you. Let your word speak to us. Let the Spirit guide us. We thank you for today, and we glorify and praise you today. Well, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. We greatly appreciate you, and we know that we take you for granted, but we do love you. You know, when we look in the Bible, we find that God's answer to the problems in life, to the problems that we face, is oftentimes a baby. God sends a baby. When Israel was enslaved by Egypt, God sent a baby named Moses to set them free. When the world was enslaved to sin, God sent a baby named Jesus to set us free. The arrival of a baby ushers a new life and a new beginning in a family and in life. And so today, we find in the Bible that there are three special and unique babies that God sent to set his people free, or to set his people on a new course. And these three babies had two very special characteristics. One was that they were born to mothers who were barren. These mothers could not have children and went for many years, and they had no children. They could not have children. And the second thing we see about these three babies is that they were born Nazarites for life. Now, who are these three? You think of Samson, the strong man, Samuel, and also John the Baptist. These three young men, these three men were born babies. Now, a Nazarite is a person who voluntarily took a vow to be consecrated and devoted to God. And as long as that vow stayed in place, they were committed to the Lord. And they had to observe these three things if you were a Nazarite. You couldn't touch wine or anything made with grapes. So you could not touch a grapevine. You could not eat a raisin. And that's why I think John the Baptist's father said, and no wine would touch his lips. Now, the second thing we see is that you can't touch the hair. The hair on their head was to remain uncut for as long as they were Nazarites. And that's why with Samson, the phrase was says, and a razor will not touch his head. And the third thing is that you don't touch dead things, not even family members. If you do any of these three things, you have broken your vow and you have defiled yourself. Now, what's interesting about Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist is these three babies were called to be Nazarites before they were even born. They were called by God, and they were called to be Nazarites their entire life. Now, if you think about it, what kind of baby? How is a baby like this supposed to change the world? How is this supposed to be raised? Well, a baby like this who's supposed to change the world needs a godly mother. Not just any mother, but a godly mother, a mother who loves God, who believes in God. And not only that, a mother whose faith has been forged in the fire by difficulties and hardships and pain. Mothers who have learned to trust in God. After all, if we look at this thought here, it takes a remarkable woman to raise a remarkable child. Samson, Samuel, John the Baptist were remarkable men. Now, we know Samson had issues because he violated his vow often, but Samuel and John the Baptist all served the Lord. And even Samson knew who the Lord was. And so today, I want to take a look at one remarkable mother, and that is Samuel's mother, Hannah. We know Hannah's story. If you want to read it, I'm going to just jump around in verses, but go to 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 1 and 2 to learn about this remarkable woman who raised a remarkable child. So let's start at 1 Samuel 1:1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroboam, the son of Elu, the son of Tohu, and the son of Zup, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. This time period is called the time of the judges. Moses had died. Joseph led the people of Israel into the promised land. They conquered it. And then, Joshua led the people into the land of the promised land. They conquered it. And then Joshua died. Now it was a time of the judges. But the people of Israel were in trouble. They lacked godly leadership. They lacked sustained prophetic message from the Lord. The priesthood was defiled. The law of Moses was broken and disobeyed. And so this man called Elkanah was a Levite. And the Levites were scattered throughout the land, and they went to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was, to minister and serve the Lord when needed. Now, when you read this story, you think of Elkanah as a good and godly man, and he had two wives. And apparently Hannah was his first wife, and she was barren. And so he married Peninnah, who had children, so that he could have a family. And so we pick up the story here about Hannah. And as we look at this story today, we'll see, what are the qualities of a godly mother? But we could also just rephrase this. What is the qualities of a godly woman or a godly man? Remember, brothers and sisters, you don't have to be a mother and make a difference in someone's life. You can be a spiritual father to someone. You can be a spiritual mother. You can be a spiritual big brother or big sister to someone around you. You just have to be willing to care and be willing to invest your life in someone. I know children in our church that could use a big brother or big sister. So if you're up for a challenge, if you want to make a difference in somebody's life, come and see me. Let's talk. And so the first quality we see in Hannah was this. She experienced disappointment. Verse 3, year after year, this man went up to his town to worship, from his town to worship and sacrifice the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. And they were bad, wicked priests, just so you know. Verse 4, when the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. You know, godly mothers are not perfect. And moms, you need to stop beating yourselves up that you're not perfect or that you should be a better mother. You know, oftentimes we think that mothers like to think that they're not doing enough for their children. They are too stressed out. They're tired. They feel like failures. And even in this time of the pandemic, when they're home with their kids all the time, they're stressed out. And oftentimes they feel like they are never doing enough for their kids. Their kids gonna fail or struggle because they are not good enough. And so we all face disappointment. We all face failures and defeat. But God does not want us to use those times to let those failures or disappointments define us or to own us. Instead, we're supposed to use those times to look to God. See, Hannah was downcast. She was depressed. She could not have children. And the pressure on her was great. In the Old Testament time, the pressure was cultural. A Hebrew man's status was dependent on him having a son who could carry on his name. His wife's inability to have children, especially a son, was regarded as a curse from God. After all, the Old Testament says that God's word says that having children was a sign of God's blessing. So if you don't have children, it must mean that you are cursed. And so Hannah was ashamed, and she was embarrassed at her failure. Why can't you have kids, Hannah? The pressure was political. She had a rival, another sister wife, as they call him. And her rival, Peninnah, used her barrenness to criticize and provoke her to tears. She would provoke her, criticize her, and when they went up to Shiloh to worship, Peninnah knew that Hannah would be praying at the tabernacle, pleading for a son, and she used it to torture her. She was mean. She was just plain cruel to Hannah. And I think partly it's because Peninnah knew that Elkanah, the husband, loved Hannah. It said in the scriptures that he loved Hannah and gave her a double portion. So she was probably jealous and angry, and it provoked her to be mean and cruel. So men, this is a lesson for us. You must treat both of your wives equally fair. Be nice to both of them. The pressure was internal. Hannah felt that something was missing in her life. She wanted a child to love, a child to hug. So she prayed year after year. She prayed. And how long have you been praying for something and it hasn't happened? See, when we hear this story, you know, the name Hannah means a woman of grace. And she handled this with grace. She didn't get in a fight or an argument. And it seemed unfair that a woman with Peninnah's ugly disposition, with her cruelty, that she could have children while Hannah, who was gracious, was childless. You know, godly mothers have faced disappointment. God doesn't just use perfect people with perfect lives. He uses people who understand disappointment and failure so that when they rise from it, when they trust in God, they can lift other people up with them. So the first quality, she experienced disappointment. We all have, we all qualify as godly people if we want. The second thing we see is that Hannah had spiritual discernment. 1 year, as we're about to read, she is drawn to the tabernacle in Shiloh, which is represents the presence of God, and she is drawn in a powerful way. Samson and John the Baptist's mother also displayed a deep awareness and understanding of God moving in their lives. They sense God working in their lives. And so as we look at 1 Samuel 1:9, once when they were finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you would just look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, and give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. That sign will ever be used on his head is a sign that she is committing him to the vow of the Nazarite. So what do we see here? Hannah was downcast. She was disappointed, but she didn't turn to anger or bitterness towards her rival. She didn't turn to depression and withdraw from the world. She didn't turn to drugs or alcohol or shopping to cover up her pain. I remember when I was working as a CPA, one of my clients' wives would, every time her husband hurt her or cheated on her, she would go shopping and put $5,000 on the credit card. She put 80 grand on that credit card. She was trying to cover up her pain. What did Hannah do? Hannah went once more to Shiloh, to the tabernacle, and she went to the Lord in prayer. Are you downcast? Are you disheartened? Go to the Lord in prayer. What do we see in this prayer that Hannah prayed? First, you see that her prayer was filled with sorrow. She was hurting. She was crying. She was suffering. She was distraught, and she poured out her heart to God. She laid her heart and soul in front of God and bared her tears. And it's okay to cry out to God. People think, no, we should worship God and respect him, but it's okay to cry out and shed your tears and tell God what's upsetting you, what makes you cry, what makes you hurt. You read the book of Psalms, it's a book of people crying out in sorrow. Go to the Lord, pour out your tears. The second thing is that submission. She submitted herself to the Lord. She presented herself to the Lord. She called herself a servant. This word can be translated handmaid. Lord, I am giving myself to you. I'm not just giving myself to you. I'm giving all of me to you. She's offering to be his instrument of righteousness. She's offering to be a vessel of hope and healing. Are you discouraged? Are you depressed? Go and tell God, pour out your sorrow, and then you submit yourself to the Lord. Rebuke the devil, and he will leave you. He will flee you. So we submit ourselves to the power of God. The third thing we see is that she made a sacrifice. Whenever we worship the Lord, we should bring a sacrifice. We bring our tithes. Sometimes we sacrifice our time and our talents. And she said, Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you to serve you all the days of his life as a Nazarite. Now, when you read that passage, is Hannah bargaining with God? Are we supposed to bargain with God? God, you give me something and I'll give you something back. No, I don't think so in this situation. See, she was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, a sacrifice of the thing she prized the most. She was willing to give it to God. And she was willing to give the most important thing she could ever possess to God, a son. And see, what happened here is, as she kept praying year after year, I think her prayers were probably a little selfish. Maybe she was praying that, oh, God, give me a son, remove my shame, remove my pain. And she kept praying selfish prayers, which is normal. But I think when she finally turned to God this time, God must have touched her heart. And she entered the God zone. She was connected spiritually deeply and closer to God. She became aware of who God was and what God wanted. I think she determined in her heart that the Lord wanted her to pray for a son, and so that she might give that same son back to the Lord to serve him. After all, the future of the nation of Israel rested with this godly woman's prayer, because Samuel played an important key role in the nation of Israel. She prayed a sacrificial prayer. She's willing to give it all to God. Why are you still discouraged and disappointed? It's probably because your prayers are filled with selfishness. God, give me fame. God, give me a fortune. Make me popular. End my financial problems. God, make me happy. Most prayers are selfish prayers, but Hannah's prayer was filled with sacrifice. God, use me. God, I give everything I have, everything I will have to you. See, those are the prayers that God answers. When we're willing to do anything and obey God's answer before we know that answer, that's when God answered prayers. So God wants to help us in our disappointment, but he also wants us to be filled with spiritual discernment. What we see in her, and the quality we should have, is that she dedicate herself to the Lord's will. So you have to understand what's happening as she's praying. Her prayer finally aligned with God's will. Before, she was probably praying selfish prayers. You know, God, send me a son to end my shame. God, send me a son to make me happy. Now, God was ready and waiting to raise up a faithful priest. He was just waiting for a faithful mother who was willing to give up her son to him. And she chose to become that mother. See, when your prayers align with God's will, when your will and God's will align together, that's when miracles happen. That's when prayers are answered. 1 Samuel 1:17. Now, she's praying and she's mouthing the words, but no sounds are coming out. Eli sees her, the priest, and says, you know, you shouldn't come here drunk. And she says, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just pouring out my heart to God. And then verse 17, Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went away and ate something. And notice this, she went away and ate something. Her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah laid with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord. This is a powerful answer to prayer. She knew that God had touched her. Now we see here that after this prayer, after she left the tabernacle, this is everything changed. Her countenance changed. Her face was no longer downcast. She started eating again. She wasn't depressed and discouraged. She was content. She was satisfied. She knew she was no longer downcast. She was completely content. She worshiped the Lord. Now, what happened? Nothing changed. She wasn't suddenly pregnant. She was still barren. But she had a new perspective. She let go and she let God. When we devote ourselves to the Lord, we will start to see things clearly. When we put our problems in God's hand, when we calm ourselves down, we can see clearly of God's plan. We can see that It's not about me. It's about what God wants in my life. I'm going to let go. I'm going to let God take care of my problems. And so she let go and she let God. She's happy. She changed. She's not depressed. She's not discouraged. She's content. She's walking in the presence of God. You know, when you worship God, when you enter his presence, it should change your countenance. You should be walking with love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Now she goes home, as the story says, she gets pregnant, she gives birth to a boy, and she named him Samuel. Samuel's name is very interesting. It comes from three Hebrew words. Sa'el means ass, Sama means heard, and El is one of the names of God. So Samuel, when you put it together, means heard of God or asked of God. See, this was a miracle baby. This baby came from a mother who was willing to serve God and a God who wanted to answer his prayer and raise up a prophet. And so this child was born to a mother whose faith was forged in the fire. She was distraught. She was depressed. She was beaten up by her rival. She was ashamed, but now her faith was forged in fire. She went from grief to God's grace and now into God's glory zone. Imagine Samuel being born and hearing the stories, the mom telling him the story, how she was conceived, how God spoke to her and gave him this child. Samuel, you're a miracle baby. Maybe we should say that to all our children. They're all special. They're all miracles from God. I remember when my first daughter, Jennifer, was born. I was a Christian. I had complete faith in God. But when Jennifer was born, my first child, I saw her as soon as she came out. I said, God is real. This is physical proof that God is real, because this child is real. The fourth thing we see is this. She remained devoted to the Lord. You know, oftentimes we pray, and we pray for an answer. When God gives us something, especially what we want, you know, we pray, God, when I have time, I'm going to serve you. God, when this business starts making money, I'll serve you. God, when I retire, I'll serve you. And we pray and pray, and then we get what we get that answer, the deliverance that God gave us, and then we forget about our promise. We forget all about the promises we made to God. When I was in high school, we had an evangelist, Irving Childress, that would come and teach us about sharing our faith. And before he became a Christian, he was in World War II, and he's in Germany or France in a foxhole, and the Germans are attacking, and bombs are going off. And he's terrified. He would pray to God that, God, if you deliver me, I will serve you. But he said after the battle ended, he went back into town, he'd go back to partying and drinking. He forgot about God. Have you asked God for an answer? Has he given you that answer and then you forgot about him? Hannah was special. She remained devoted to the Lord. She kept her promise. Verse 24, after he was weaned, probably the age of three, she was no longer nursing him. She took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Isn't that amazing what devotion she had? She had given birth to this child. She nursed this child and changed him and loved him. And then she gave him up. You know, I can imagine at age three, if it was me or one of you, we'd start making excuses. We'd start arguing with God. God, this boy, he's only three. I'm going to keep him until he's five. God, this boy's only five. I'm going to keep him a little longer. And then God, he can serve you. But see, she did not ask to keep the boy. She did not make excuses or argue with God. At 3 years old, she gave up her son, and she was giving him back to God. Isn't that amazing? What kind of mother is so devoted. I mean, what could be more painful than giving up a three-year-old boy that you have been raising? I mean, isn't that more painful than being barren and unable to have children? I mean, to give up this child so willingly and with love. Her devotion to God did not waver. And godly mothers and godly men and women, we must be devoted to God. And then she would only see this child once a year when they went up for the annual feast. Only once a year. She wouldn't see him until then. She wouldn't be able to hold him until then. This is a tremendous sacrifice and devotion. I have not been able to hold a grandchild much. I think twice I've held a grandchild for 1 minute each time for the last 7 weeks since we had this pandemic. And my arms are aching to hold a grandchild. I can imagine Hannah just could not wait to hold him. Mothers usually wean their children at age 3. He was probably potty trained, and that's when Hannah and Elkanah gave this boy to the Lord's work. Now, let me make this very clear. When your children are age 3, don't bring them to me. I don't want to raise your children. I had enough fun raising my own children. After Hannah left her son with Eli, you know, I would imagine that she could have gone off alone and had a good cry or cry her hearts out. But instead, if you look at 1 Samuel 2, we're not going to look at it today. You look it on your own. Hannah burst out into a song of praise. It's reminiscent of Mary's song of praise when she found out that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. She was filled with joy. She was filled with contentment. She loved God. God loved her. Everything was good, even though she gave up her child. Let me go on to 1 Samuel 2:18. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Verse 19, each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Every year, she'd go up to see him, take him some new clothing. You know, she hadn't had another kid for 3 years, and even after that, after she gave up Samuel, she did not have any more children for a while, but her dedication and the devotion to the Lord did not change. She was content in the will of the Lord. When we pray and we want something so bad and we don't get what we want, we must trust God. We must be devoted and discerning and still let our faith grow strong. We must be content. Remember this, you cannot outgive God. Hannah gave up 1 child to the Lord. The Lord gave her back 5 children. She was blessed. So Samuel, he was a Levite, a Nazarite, a prophet, and a judge. Samuel would go on to faithfully serve the Lord and help usher in a new Jewish history. Samuel prepared the way for the King of Israel, just as John the Baptist prepared the way for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And so today, brothers and sisters, are you experiencing disappointment, discouragement today? Are you trying and you keep trying, things don't change? Maybe you pray and keep praying, things don't change. Maybe you need to change your focus from yourself and look at God. You need to focus on God. What does God want? I know what I want, but what does God want in my life? Seek the Lord's will. When we seek the Lord's will, he'll give us discernment. Believe the Lord's will, follow it, and you'll experience God's grace and glory. When we let go and we let God, God gives us peace of mind. God clears our mind so that we can know his will. We can start praying in unison with God's will. We can start moving in unison with our prayer requests. Maybe you know you've been doing that, but you're still stuck. Sometimes we get stuck in life. We can't move forward because we're only relying on our own wisdom. God gives you his Bible. God gives you pastors and church staff and Christian friends to help you. If you're stuck, if you need some direction, come and talk to me. I'd be happy to talk to you. Do it on the phone, or I've sat outside at church and practiced social distancing, sitting on the picnic tables and counseling people. I can help you, but I can't help you if you don't ask for help. This church wants to help you. Remember, as we studied today's lesson, that everything starts with a baby. And your new life with God begins when you are born again, when you're born as a baby in the Holy Spirit. Born again means to be born of the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, when we admit that we're sinners and we need Jesus to pay our sin debt, Christ will come to our life. We make him Lord of our lives. He forgives us of our sins. He shows us how to live. We get the Holy Spirit when that happens, and the Holy Spirit connects us to God. Are you a Christian? Have you put your faith in Christ? God wants you to have a new beginning by being born again in Jesus Christ and in the Spirit. Trust in Jesus today. Believe in him. And again, if you're struggling, you need help with your discouragements and disappointments in life, let's talk. Let's pray together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father, we just worship you, and we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for the grace and blessings of life. Help us, Father, to look to you, not to turn to bitterness, not to turn into depression or material pleasures, but to turn to you and pray and pour out our heart, to pour out our tears, to express our sorrow. And then, Father, help us to be willing to submit to you. If we submit ourselves to you, we can rebuke the devil. We can rebuke our pain and problems, and they will flee. And then, Father, help us to pray to be living sacrifices for your glory and honor. Father, there's someone here today who's hurting. I pray that they won't hurt alone. Let's encourage and help him. Let's talk. Father, there's someone here who needs to make a commitment to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I pray they do so today. Father, we worship and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being a part of today's worship. I pray that you have a good week. And I pray also that you will join a small group and a fellowship. And let's keep talking and worshiping and walking together. Thank you for today. Good day. Born again means to be born of the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, when we admit that we're sinners and we need Jesus to pay our sin debt, Christ will come to our life. We make him Lord of our lives. He forgives us of our sins. He shows us how to live. We get the Holy Spirit when that happens, and the Holy Spirit connects us to God. Are you a Christian? Have you put your faith in Christ? God wants you to have a new beginning by being born again in Jesus Christ and in the Spirit. Trust in Jesus today. Believe in him. And again, if you're struggling, you need help with your discouragements and disappointments in life, let's talk. Let's pray together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father, we just worship you, and we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for the grace and blessings of life. Help us, Father, to look to you, not to turn to bitterness, not to turn into depression or material pleasures, but to turn to you and pray and pour out our heart, to pour out our tears, to express our sorrow. And then, Father, help us to be willing to submit to you. If we submit ourselves to you, we can rebuke the devil. We can rebuke our pain and problems, and they will flee. And then, Father, help us to pray to be living sacrifices for your glory and honor. Father, there's someone here today who's hurting. I pray that they won't hurt alone. Let's encourage and help him. Let's talk. Father, there's someone here who needs to make a commitment to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I pray they do so today. Father, we worship and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being a part of today's worship. I pray that you have a good week. And I pray also that you will join a small group and a fellowship. And let's keep talking and worshiping and walking together. Thank you for today. Good day. Father, we just worship you, and we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for the grace and blessings of life. Help us, Father, to look to you, not to turn to bitterness, not to turn into depression or material pleasures, but to turn to you and pray and pour out our heart, to pour out our tears, to express our sorrow. And then, Father, help us to be willing to submit to you. If we submit ourselves to you, we can rebuke the devil. We can rebuke our pain and problems, and they will flee. And then, Father, help us to pray to be living sacrifices for your glory and honor. Father, there's someone here today who's hurting. I pray that they won't hurt alone. Let's encourage and help him. Let's talk. Father, someone here who needs to make a commitment to follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I pray they do so today. Father, we worship and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being a part of today's worship. I pray that you have a good week. And I pray also that you will join a small group and a fellowship. And let's keep talking and worshiping and walking together. Thank you for today. Good day. Born again means to be born of the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, when we admit that we're sinners and we need Jesus to pay our sin debt, Christ will come to our life. We make him Lord of our lives. He forgives us of our sins. He shows us how to live. We get the Holy Spirit when that happens, and the Holy Spirit connects us to God. Are you a Christian? Have you put your faith in Christ? God wants you to have a new beginning by being born again in Jesus Christ and in the Spirit. Trust in Jesus today, believe in him. And again, if you're struggling, you need help with your discouragements and disappointments in life, let's talk. Let's pray together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father, we just worship you and we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for the grace and blessings of life. Help us, Father, to look to you, not to turn to bitterness, not to turn into depression or material pleasures, but to turn to you and pray and pour out our heart, to pour out our tears, to express our sorrow. And then, Father, help us to be willing to submit to you. If we submit ourselves to you, we can rebuke the devil. We can rebuke our pain and problems, and they will flee. And then, Father, help us to pray to be living sacrifices for your glory and honor. Father, there's someone here today who's hurting. I pray that they won't hurt alone. Let's encourage and help him. Let's talk. Father, there's someone here who needs to make a commitment to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I pray they do so today. Father, we worship and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being a part of today's worship. I pray that you have a good week. And I pray also that you will join a small group and a fellowship. And let's keep talking and worshiping and walking together. Thank you for today. Good day.